This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in today's show, how to meet the needs of our dramatically increasing elder population. First up this afternoon, summer is when most of us take a break, but that doesn't hold true for criminals looking to relieve you of your hard-earned money. Here to talk about the latest frauds and schemes con artists are using is Amber Hunt, consumer advocate reporter with the Cincinnati Inquirer, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Amber, good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And, you know, before we get talking about scams, you've had an interesting summer so far. You're back from a couple of weeks away where you went to a cabin in Michigan, really?
I did. To
work on a book?
I did. I know. It sounds a little more glamorous than it is. But every summer my husband works up in northern Michigan, so I always rent a cabin. And I happen to also write books in addition to my work at the Inquirer. So I'm usually writing something. But it really isn't as sexy as it sounds. I mean, there were mice in the ceiling. It was interesting.
Well, and you know, I was going to tease you because it sounds like this is the kind of thing that you hear about in movies, that writers go off in the movies and they write this great novel in their cabin in the woods, and here Amber's off doing that. So
right, yeah. No,
nothing like that?
Not so much. And the first three I wrote were true crime books, so it was pretty grisly. it's a summer camp setting, so it's, if anything, it's kind of ominous and creepy. This one I'm working on now actually is my first fiction, so I suppose I have no delusions of great American novel, but it was a lot of fun to be in that setting and write.
So what's the new book going to be about?
It's you had to expect that it would be about a reporter, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so it is. It's a crime reporter in Detroit, which is what I did for 8 years.
So the crime reporter is the hero in this book.
That
it wouldn't be otherwise, right?
No.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting that you started off as a crime writer and you've been passionate about consumer advocacy and you're doing all this work as an author. That's a lot of shifting gears, isn't it?
It is. And I'm also a photographer, too.
I've shot
weddings. So there's an interesting yin and yang to that, where, you know, you're writing about people's worst days as a crime writer, and then you're documenting their best days on their weddings. It's from the same place. It's all capturing emotion. So
am I keeping up right? You've done 4 books at this point, is that correct?
I have 3 true crimes, and then in December my book The Kennedy Wives, about the 5 women who married into the Kennedy family, that came out as a hardback, and it's actually done well enough that we just got word that it's coming out in paperback in this upcoming December.
In paper. So, you know, I'm not part of the publishing world. Paperback, that's a big deal, is it?
So it's a When my true crimes came out as paperback initially, and then it is a big deal. I was so excited because I was going to have a hardback, you know, book. And so the Kennedy book comes out and it's hardback, but it turns out it's a big deal for the hardback to be translated into paperback. It means it's selling okay. So that's exciting for me.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation with Amber Hunt. And, of course, Amber, it's summer and you took your vacation, and a lot of us take a break this time of year. And that's not the case with con artists. They don't take vacations typically when it comes to depriving you of your money, do they?
No, they not only don't take vacations, they actually use this time to gear up. Summer is a really big time, especially for any kind of travel scam. So you'll see on Facebook, for example, there'll be all these, click to like and share this post, and you'll win free tickets from Delta Airways. Never mind that it's Delta Airlines, you know, and that's how they get you to click, and you are suddenly downloading malware that you weren't aware of, or you're giving out personal information, thinking that you're claiming your tickets. They go into overdrive in the summer.
So what's the best way to defend yourself against that kind of thing? I mean, just not to fall for it, period, although some of it looks so real and it's also tempting.
It's exhausting and it's a little bit jading, because you have to basically assume that every solicitation is out to take your money. Everything I see, I'm looking for an embedded link that they're wanting me to click, because if it's in there, I'm pretty sure that this is fake. And, you know, if they're wanting me to like something, I'm pretty sure they're either trying to get personal information to target ads to me, which is, you know, probably the least of my concerns, but the it gets more serious. They could be actually taking personal information from me, and I could be an identity theft victim.
Now, does you work with Call to Action? Do they get a lot of complaints about this kind of scam?
Yeah, Inquire, Call for Action. Our volunteers definitely get all kinds of scam complaints. These are big ones, though. The ones where a huge one right now that we're dealing with is people will sign up for a product, and maybe it'll be free. They'll sign up, but to get the product, you have to put in your credit card information so that it comes shipped to you. And then you didn't notice in the fine print that you were signing up for 12 months of this product. So month after month, you get it, and you call up, and you try to get out of it, and you tell them you don't want it anymore, and next month it keeps coming. We deal with that a lot.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I have done that. I've seen things that I really liked, and they were tempting, and I signed up. And it's true. You keep calling and saying, please cancel, and they say, oh, we'll take care of this, and then the next month it shows up again. Now, of course, if they're on the up and up, they're going to cancel that. I mean, they're not just going to keep shipping you the product.
Well, a real business wants to have happy customers. But plenty of these, and they trick you, and they make you feel as though you don't have any grounds to ask for your money back, because they do send you the product. So you've got this, you know, shipment on your porch, and you don't want to be a thief. So you think, okay, I guess I can't demand my money back because I have this thing. And they make it very cumbersome to return it. So it's they're pretty clever about it all.
So the best advice is, if you see something like that, just stay the heck away from it?
Definitely. And it's heartbreaking to have to say all the time, you know, you just have to assume everybody is out to steal your money.
So you have to be a little jaded and cynical.
You really do.
It is buyer beware, isn't it?
It is. It is. And nobody is looking out for you. I just read in Florida, the attorney general there is going after a company who purports to help scam victims. So the whole shtick is, we're going to help you. You've had your ID stolen. You're out some money. We're going to help you get that money back. But to do that, we need you to pay us a few thousand dollars. And so the Florida AG is like, that's not so cool. So even these businesses that are you know, pretending to be there to specifically help you out of this problem are actually just scamming you.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. And Amber, you know, also because it's summer, we have these travel related things going on. There's free cruise scams that go on that you have to be careful of. There are vacation rental scams. So you're right. A lot of stuff pops up in the summer that you wouldn't normally deal with.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was in Puerto Rico recently, and I was so amazed. We were shopping, and the cashier started to slowly count the money back, and it wasn't in American dollars. And so she counted back slowly, and I noticed that she was waiting for me, because they're used to people grabbing the money and running. But, you know, that was my part for my... I keep an eye out for the stuff. I try to pay attention. And so for me, it was amusing.
So also because it's summer, there are there's a lot more flooding, there are a lot more storms, that kind of thing. You run into these disaster relief scams, too, unfortunately. Scammers see this as a good way to pick your pocket, don't they?
They do, yeah. And this is spring, this is fall, and certainly it's summer. Anytime there's
flooding, hurricanes, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Anytime there's any kind of increase in you know, damagey weather, you're going to have somebody show up at your door, and they always are saying, oh, I was just down the block, and I was fixing your neighbor's roof, and I have this leftover material, and I'll give you a really good deal on it. And you say, oh, okay. And then it ends up that they start the job maybe, but they don't finish it, and you're out hundreds, if not thousands.
So when it comes to that, I guess the best rule is you pick the contractor. Don't let the contractor pick you. Is that probably the best way to protect yourself in this case?
Exactly. Yeah, and you really have to do your research, and you can't even trust all online reviews, because those can be padded by the business itself. You know, they could create online accounts and positively review themselves on Yelp or whatever, and sometimes those are hard to weed out.
Now, do many local cities prohibit door-to-door solicitation, or if you have a door-to-door solicitor, should you report that to somebody?
Yeah, most communities have rules about that, so it's really smart to be in touch with especially if you're in a house that tends to get these visitors, it's really smart to just go proactively contact your municipality, say, hey, what are the rules?
Let's talk with Gail in Wyoming. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
You're on Cincinnati Edition?
Yes, I wanted to tell about my husband had died, and about a month, a few weeks or a month later, I got something purporting to be investigating an income tax return. It was a time when some people are still getting their refund. And they said I had to send, it was addressed to my late husband and actually another man. But it said it wanted all kinds of personal documents that I should send to the Michigan Income Tax Department. But I was suspicious of it.
As you should be, yeah.
It turned out, they did have a phone number in there for identity test, and that number was correct, but everything else was wrong.
Right, and they trick people, especially because they will have those little nuggets that are accurate and are verifiable, and then people say, oh, well, this must be legitimate. I'm hoping that you figured out it wasn't before you sent them anything.
Well, no, I sent them nothing, but I figured out it was wrong because my husband never lived or worked in the state of Michigan.
Oh,
and because,
good for you.
And because it came to him and this other man, and the other name was not familiar. So then I went on the state of Michigan website and saw that the seal was a little off, but I didn't know whether to ignore it or report it. So I contacted a friend of mine in federal probation, and she said, she contacted the IRS, and they gave me one of those numbers to file with my next tax return.
Right.
So, which would be federal, so that, you know, there wasn't any chance that would get hijacked. But, you know, it made me upset that it didn't, because the nature of the document, because it was from Michigan and there was no connection with Michigan, and because the nature of the documents they asked for had nothing to do with a tax return, like it wanted his birth certificate and the deed of our house.
Obvious, yeah,
right.
And Gail, good for you that you did not fall for it. We're glad you didn't. But thank you for the call. And, you know, that is something, Amber. These guys who do this kind of stuff, they wouldn't keep doing it if people stop falling for it. You'd pretty much shut them down, wouldn't you?
Right. And so this beat has been interesting because I have to write similar stories. And one is the IRS scam, which is where somebody calls up, says that you owe back taxes, and man, they get really pushy. They might even have somebody follow up a phone call saying that they're the sheriff. They're going to come and put you in jail. And I've written probably four or five stories on this. And the trick is that, you know, I'm in the news business. It's supposed to be news stories all the time, but I'm having to repeat myself because they don't go away. And the reason they don't go away is because people keep falling for them.
Yeah, and that kind of goes along with a Facebook question we got from Meredith. Comment, she said she got a phone call saying she was going to be the target of a lawsuit by the IRS. She tried to call the IRS and couldn't get in touch with anyone all day when she first got that phone call. But typically, that's not how the IRS is going to operate in this matter, right?
No, they send you a letter first. And also, if you owe back taxes, there is a whole process that you have to go through. It's slow. It's meticulous. It's not going to be, hey, you owe us $800. And if you don't get it to us via prepaid credit cards tomorrow, you're going to jail. It just doesn't work that way. But they're very convincing on the phone.
We'll continue our conversation about scams and how to avoid them. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, Amber Hunt, consumer advocate reporter with the Cincinnati Inquirer. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
So when I say something inaccurate in a newspaper story, I can pull it back and make a correction. I had my slow count incident happen in Finland. It wasn't in Puerto Rico. I don't want to besmirch the people in Puerto Rico. So well, I wanted to clarify that.
Amber, that's why we like you, because you have integrity and you're concerned about getting things right. You know, you were talking earlier about they try to make things look just right. They put little tweaks here and there that look convincing. And I got an email this morning that kind of took me back. It says profile error notification email. Now, I'm not going to mention who the creditor is. It's from one of my credit cards. And they say, we're writing to you because we've detected an error in your account information. And to ensure that your online access is not interrupted, we request you to verify your information today by clicking on the link below, and it all looks good. I mean, it all looks official. I mean, the link looks legit. It may very well be legit for all I know. It's got an email address on it that's legit, and it even has little copyright symbols on it, too. And I'm sitting there going, you know, this may be on the up and up, but I don't think I want to click that link.
No, I always tell people, don't click the damn link. Just don't click it. You'll be so much happier with your life. Well, I get these probably once or twice a week from iTunes claiming that my information is, and it's always trying to get me to click something, to put in my credit card number and all of that. Chances are it's a phishing attempt. If it isn't, then all you have to do is go to your institution yourself, type in the URL yourself, and if you go that way, you're not clicking on anybody else's malicious link.
Well, I figured the thing I can do is I can go home and I can actually log into this particular account online.
Exactly.
And I can see if they sent me any messages online or if I see anything amiss there, or I can call them.
Right.
And ask them, as well, is this legitimate? I thought of you when I saw that link, though. It's like Amber's words are running through my head. Don't click on the
bleep
link.
Yeah.
Our intern, Lizzie, had an interesting one too, Amber. She got a call that has a 614 area code on the caller ID. You're talking about IRS scams, that kind of thing earlier. They left a recorded message, and they said, we're from the Office of Attorney General Mike DeWine. We're trying to collect a debt you owe. And first Lizzie's going, I'm a college student. I have no money. I have
right.
no debts anyhow. So, and she's saying, I don't owe anybody any money at this point that anybody would be trying to collect on. What could this be about? And she's gotten this call a couple of times, so that sounds phony too.
I'm thinking that DeWine's office might want to know about this one. I would definitely report that. And that's one thing I always tell people, if you don't mind taking the time, go through all the proper reporting procedures, because they're not going to be able to compile statistics on how much this is happening or try and track down these bad guys if they don't know that it's happening. But that one, I mean, it sounds just like the IRS scam, except replace IRS with DeWine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then typically, again, if they're aren't they going to operate like the IRS? If they're trying to collect, they're going to send you a letter.
Yes.
First, they're not going to just call you
right.
up on the phone and say, we're going to sue you or you
right.
deadbeat, you owe us money. They're not going to do anything like that.
With these phone calls, I always remember I got a reader who gave me a phone number that she thought was suspicious. And I called it and I could tell that the woman was a scammer and I was really hammering her. And I finally said, why do you do this? How do you sleep at night if you're taking these people's money? And she finally dropped the facade and said, well, because people like you keep calling. And that's the truth. They're going to keep doing it until they don't have victims anymore.
And just so have your cynicism radar turned on
exactly.
all these things. Yeah, we had a question going back to the travel scams, the vacation scams. Are any of the offers for a free resort stay tied to a property sales pitch, are any of those legit or are all these trouble? I guess you just have to.
It depends what your threshold is for listening to high pressure sales pitches, because what probably will happen, some of these are real. Be particularly wary of ones that don't even come with fine print, because those ones are probably just straight up bogus. But the ones with that are attached with pitches, they lure you in, they have you sit there, and then they really work hard to sell you something. And so it really just depends how much is that, quote unquote, free trip worth it to you. The ones I've seen, they're not really from any airport. It's only from major cities. So they're limited already, and then you're going to have to give them your time and attention. And to me, it's not worth it, but to somebody else, I suppose it might be.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Mike in Marymount. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing fine.
What's your question, sir?
I wondered what you knew about Publishers Clearing House, how legit that is.
Okay.
Well, you know, the truth is that they sometimes give out money, but there's an ulterior motive there, and there are a lot of imitators. So, and that would be my biggest concern is that a lot of places are set up to, they're really not there to allow you to win anything. They are taking something from you. That's what you have to keep in mind. When you're giving up your information, you might be giving up a lot of valuable info to somebody who could really take you for a ride.
Well, you got a question on Facebook from Brianne. She wanted to know, is it true that some of those Facebook quizzes, what's your style, what's your nickname, what's your fortune, that those things are, these are just attempts to steal
right.
information, aren't they?
They are. And some of it is people have different feelings about how nefarious that is, as in, if you're answering a question from a quiz, which Game of Thrones character are you from, you know, HBO, they're probably trying to find some personal info so that they can tailor advertisements to you. Other ones, though, might be trying to target you for something worse than just marketing.
Okay, so if it's pretty benign stuff, then you don't you know, what's your favorite Game of Thrones character? That you don't have to worry about quite as much.
Well, it's not so much what the quiz is, but who is sponsoring the quiz. So if you don't know if you can tell it's HBO and it looks, you know, it's a legitimate HBO quiz, then you can pretty much guess, all right, this isn't how this person is going to make all of their money. They just want to sell me stuff. But if it's some random third party you've never heard of, then you have no idea who you're giving your information to or telling them, you know, your personal preferences.
Let's talk with David in Pierce Township. Hi, David.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
This is a particularly pertinent topic for me because yesterday I got four separate phone calls from supposedly from the IRS saying they were going to file suit and that I must call them back immediately.
Wow, four.
The interesting thing is that the phone number they gave, when I put it into the web, it's the same phone number that everybody else is getting. Now, my question is this. Why is it not possible to track down these crooks and put them in jail?
Well, because some of those phone numbers are really just spoofed. They're not always connected to real people. It's overseas, and it's a million times removed, so our law enforcement agents here have a really hard time tracing it down. It's not like it's just somebody in, you know, St. Louis and they can go and knock on a door. It might be filtered through a bunch of different channels, and they might be actually in India or something. It's much trickier than it seems.
David, thank you for the phone call. You know, there's another interesting one that I've been reading about, and that's where they can actually make your phone number pop up on your caller ID. Have you heard about this one?
I have not only heard about it, I've had it happen to me.
That is
I've
weird.
Had somebody spoof my phone number. It's very bizarre. It's an out-of-body type experience when you see yourself calling yourself. You're like, what is this about? But it's just, you know, it's a computer trick.
So just if you see that, don't be tempted to say, who the heck is this calling me?
I mean, you know, I tend to answer because I have fun doing this sort of thing. I know what I'm getting into. I'm in a confrontational mode at that point, and I'm like, all right, we'll play, you know.
You tend to do that with these people anyway,
I hear. Because you never know when a column idea is going to come out of it, frankly. But for most, I mean, really, if you don't have the time or the inclination to do that, the smart thing to do and what I should do is just ignore it.
Well, I think the other thing that they do is on some of these, when you answer, it gives you some kind of a menu, you know, press this for this,
right.
Press this for this, press this for this. And you definitely
exactly.
don't want to press those buttons.
It's not as though they're, you know, getting your fingerprint or anything from that. But what they are doing is verifying that this is a real phone number to a person and this is a future target. And so then they store that number and you're going to be targeted by somebody.
So when it comes to charities, Amber, what about a charity that calls to solicit but wants to send someone out to pick up a check? Is that something that you're aware of? Or
I wouldn't be comfortable with that.
Yeah, I
wouldn't at all. I think that makes a lot of red flags go off in my head. There are plenty of good online resources for you to research different charities and see which ones are legitimate and how they spend their money. GuideStar.org is a really good one that I use all the time. I have not heard of a legitimate. Chances are the person showing up is either casing your house or going to try and sell you something else. There's really no reason to send somebody in person.
So what's the latest word on Call for Action? How's that working?
It's going great. So we just started our second year. Yeah, we're past $150,000, and that's amazing because it's you know, tough in the summertime. We've got people don't tend to think of you, you know, so we're trying to remind people that we're here. Give us a call. We want to help. But it's still going really, really well, and I'm really proud of what our volunteers have done. One of them just got back $13,000 for a person who had it was one of these home improvement scams. And it took a lot of phone calls and a lot of mediation, but he did it, and he got back 13 grand.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you can lose that much money in one of these things.
Yeah, that's a huge blow to the average person, and most of us are average people. You know, that's a lot of money.
So resources to keep in mind, Call for Action is one if you want to file a complaint, something you think is a scam. Well, Attorney General's Office is the other place to go
in your state,
isn't it?
What we help you do is we mediate. So when you say, hey, I tried to get my money back and it didn't work, we step in and we're dispassionate, we are professional, we come in, we try and help you. AG's office is very good. It's a good idea to file complaints through them because they're the ones who are going to file any kind of legal action.
Amber, always good talking to you.
Thank you.
Amber Hunt, consumer advocate reporter with the Cincinnati Inquirer. Coming up, the elder population, those aged 65 and older, is increasing dramatically. So how do we help meet their needs? This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.